So our second speaker for the evening is Brian Davey. Brian is a Nottingham graduate, Nottingham University graduate. He's been in Nottingham since 1967 and studied economics from 70 to 74, resulting in an MPhil. He's helped to build up EcoWork, which is an organization addressing environmental problems and community gardening in a joint objective, and now operates as an environmental consultant. Brian. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, the basis of my talk is to turn what Paul said down into something that's local. And my opening slide has an artist's impression of the new Trinity Square shopping centre, and the significance of that will, I hope, become clear as I go along. What I take to be the basic message from Paul are these three things. What I would describe as energy descent will happen, whether we like it or not. The only uncertainty is how soon it will start and how fast it will develop. Well, perhaps if what Paul says is right about Saudi Arabia, it has already started in terms of oil, certainly. And the other idea which I want to come to is the idea that if we deny what is happening and try and live and work on current assumptions, this will delay adjustment and make things a lot worse. Two or three years ago, there was some research done by researchers at the University of York on the idea of an ecological footprint. And this is a way of assessing the ecological impact of the way people are living. And they came to the conclusion that if everybody on the planet were to live in the way that we live in Nottingham from an ecological point of view, we would need three planets. My image here is actually of four planets. But if we believe Sir Nicholas Stern, who thinks that by 2050 the world economy will be four times as big as it is at the moment, then maybe even four planets wouldn't be enough for Nottingham. I think that's living in cloud cuckoo land myself, when you bear in mind the sorts of arguments that Paul has just raised. So the issue is how we live on less, as Paul says, but living on less in Nottingham will certainly cause serious economic adjustment problems. My response to that is to say tough, in the sense that what can't be cured must be endured, but not to be complacent, obviously, not to be blasé about it. These are very serious problems which will have to be adapted, and particularly we'll have to make sure that vulnerable people are protected in the process. I want to start off my look at the Nottingham economy from two angles. Nottingham as an energy from the point of view of Nottingham as a producer city and Nottingham as a consumer city. So I'm starting going back when I came to Nottingham in 1967. The Nottingham and Nottinghamshire economic structure was very, very different from what it is now. Still by 1980, it's not a terribly good map here, but Nottingham had played a major part in the power generation of the UK economy, Nottinghamshire. And this is a map of all the pits that there were in Nottinghamshire. And along the River Trent, the pits are the triangles, and along the Trent are the power stations. Wilford was the original power station, coal power station, electric power station for Nottingham. And the other ones were there in 1980. Now, since that time, Staythorpe has closed. I think High Marnham has closed. Wilford had closed already by then. I think Castle Donington and Willington have also probably closed. West Burton, Cottam and Radcliffe power stations, they still operate. But they do so mainly from imported coal. There's only three pits operating now in Nottinghamshire. I would say though that those three power stations, West Burton, Cottam, and Radcliffe, are in the World Wildlife Fund's 30 top polluters in Europe. All three are in the top 30 polluters in Europe. in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. As it happens, I haven't got this here because I only recently picked up on this, but there are plans to build a gas power station in Staythorpe, which would be 1,650 megawatt a gas power station in Staythorpe, which will presumably be from imported natural gas. There are questions you might raise about the wisdom of that in the light of gas depletion and so on, but whatever. If there's going to be a renaissance of coal power in the light of gas depletion and so on, it would have to be to prevent the problems associated with the high emissions from coal, with carbon capture and sequestration, pumping the CO2 underground. I'm not going to say much more about that because that's the subject of a future meeting, the next meeting in this series, so we can talk about all those kinds of issues there. But I think it is important to see this kind of issue as part of the Nottingham and Nottinghamshire energy scene. I would say, though, just make the same point that Paul already did, that carbon capture and storage underground considerably reduces the net energy that you can get out of a power station. The figures which I saw were that you'd need 10 to 40% more fuel for the same amount of electricity. if you're retrofitting a power station, an existing power station, then it's rather more the higher figure. But anyway, that's I think an important dimension to bear in mind, and it's the subject for a future meeting. But the main thing I want to talk about is the structure of the Nottingham economy and what that means for carbon emissions. Now, the way in which people normally think about the economic structure of a city, the typical thing that we talk about is the employment structure. And since I came to Nottingham in 1967, the employment structure has changed absolutely massively, particularly a very big fall in manufacturing industry from 41% of employment in 1971 to 11% of employment now. And on the other direction, service sector employment has risen massively from 50% in 1971 to 80% now. And the term which is all used in all the documents and all the policy documents and so on is that Nottingham and indeed the British economy and so on, industrial economies, former industrial economies like Britain have become knowledge-based economies. Education, education, education. That's the future. So here is another look at that kind of idea more specifically, that you can see that in Nottingham, the major employer is actually public, which means government agencies, local government and so on, education, which is the higher education sector, schools and so on, FE colleges and so on, and health, the NHS. That the banking and professional is another service sector which is very important in Nottingham. And that manufacturing is quite small, and the other sector is distribution. Retail, hotel and catering, and energy, water and agriculture is really quite small as an employer. So this sort of facts of economic evolution, not just in Nottingham but in a number of other countries, has led to an idea which is widely propagated, that as countries become richer, as cities become richer, as they become more service sector based, they become cleaner. They clean up their act, and this is called the environmental Kuznet curve. And you've got this idea here on the graph that as per capita income rises, first the environment gets worse and then it gets better. That's an idea, and I saw that idea mentioned only yesterday when I was reading a magazine called Environmental Management, and I wasn't very impressed to see it in there either. But because I think this idea is rubbish, and it's rubbish for these reasons, that an information and knowledge economy needs a material infrastructure to operate from. For example, offices, which use a lot of energy and emit a lot of CO2 in their production and construction. Also, it's not what Nottingham produces in its offices, but what it consumes and buys from its shops and restaurants, and what it consumes energy-wise and CO2-generating-wise in its homes that matters. Also, the fact that even service sector workers have to get to work, and they do so mostly by cars. And then there's another factor as well, that many of the things that we buy in the shops come from places like China, and the CO2 is emitted in places like China. That's where the energy and the carbon emissions are taking place. So in that sense, because we're buying these things, we have that kind of indirect responsibility. It's not just that jobs, the manufacturing jobs, have been offshored from Nottingham to China, but so has the pollution as well. And I want to go through some of these points in a bit more detail. First of all, construction. Half of the energy used in an economy is in the growth process of an economy, to build the infrastructure to sustain the growth process. And that's particularly the case in the construction industry itself, because construction is a very energy intensive process, particularly building, producing the cement, the steel, the glass, and those kinds of components and so on. Now, if you look at the carbon emissions on the basis of standard industrial classifications, then that doesn't show up so much, because construction doesn't show up as a terribly high carbon-emitting industrial sector. But if you take the carbon emissions in the cement industry and in the steel industry, which the construction industry are using, then you get a different picture. In other words, you can actually reattribute, if you like, the carbon emissions from supplier input sectors to the final industrial sectors, the final goods that an economy produces. And when you do, you get this. So this is a diagram produced by the Carbon Institute. And it shows, as I said, the top 25 sectors for CO2 emissions when carbon emissions have been reattributed according to categories of final demand. So in the construction industry, all the carbon dioxide from the cement industry has been included in the construction industry. The steel that went into construction has been reattributed into the construction industry, and so on. And also going down a bit, because it's not just a message about construction, you can see the place of retail distribution, hotel, catering, pubs, wholesale distribution. The shopping sector, the distribution sector, is absolutely massive. And of course, that is a reattribution of the transport of getting the goods to the shops, basically. So you can see then quite clearly where the carbon emissions are occurring within our economic structure. So just to go back a bit, sorry about that. When you want to know where the carbon emissions are mostly hugely occurring in Nottingham, just look at the skyline and look at some of these cranes that have been building up this massive building boom over the last few years. That's where a lot of the carbon emissions have been. Now, to turn to this issue of transport, as I said, on average, a Nottingham resident travels 16,000 kilometres a year. That's 45 kilometres a day. Car and planes make up 85% of all that travel. You can read the stuff yourself. Quite a considerable proportion of that is actually by air. People coming in and out, presumably not just out of East Midlands Airport, but that would be quite a major proportion of it. Nottingham, with some justification, claims a bit of credit, because whereas most cities, the actual transport uses is actually going up, overall traffic in Nottingham dropped by 0.4% over 7 years. Not 0.4% every year, just over the whole 7 years, mind you. So it's pretty static. But considering the fact that most cities is actually going up, that's in a way an achievement. But it's not much of an achievement if you consider what Paul was saying and what the implications of Paul were saying, because if oil depletion occurs at 3% per annum, and that's got to be made up with biofuels or by transforming coal into liquids, then the likely trend resulting from that will be an increase in carbon emissions. Because when you do develop coal to liquid fuels, that's a very high emitting transformation process. And biofuels also, first of all, it's in competition with food, so it's already driving up food prices around the world. And also there's been a major problem of cutting down rainforests, for example, in Indonesia, to make up the amount of biofuels that's required, with palm oil plantations being used as feedstock for biofuels. So there's some really serious issues which would arise even if the transport sector remains static, if oil supply is falling away. That's transport. Now let's look at the shopping sector. As I said, Nottingham as an economy has lost manufacturing employment big time over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And in a knowledge-based economy, your unskilled population don't then have a huge number of employment opportunities. But where the city council has hoped to create the employment opportunities has been in the shops, in the restaurants, in the pubs. And it's been a major part of the Nottingham City Council's economic strategy to develop Nottingham as the shopping capital of the East Midlands. And you can see that's been successful in the sense that the jobs in distribution have risen from 13.8% of employment, basically gone up to 24.3% of employment since 1971. And in all of that, a few years ago, Nottingham proudly declared itself to be a 24-hour city, a city that never sleeps. I thought that's a good definition of mania, actually. But anyway, let's look at a supermarket and restaurant-based food economy. Every year, residents of Nottingham buy 500,000 tons of and consume 500,000 tons of food. Well, we have to eat that. That would be the case, whatever, given the population. But for every calorie that goes into our stomachs, we use 5.6 calories as energy input into the food production and supply chain. I got that figure, actually, from one of Paul's slides. Pardon?
It's 10.
Well, is it? Well, then...
If the actual production, that is 5.6 from the field to you.
Yes.
From the sunshine on the crop to you, it's 10.
All right, okay, well then, the situation is worse than I thought. I wondered about that, so I'm glad you raised that. But if that's the situation in regard to food you buy in a supermarket. If you look at the energy uses from food you buy in a restaurant, it's even worse. And the ecological footprint survey of Nottingham that was done a few years ago says that per ton, the environmental impact of catering services is four times the ecological footprint of home-consumed food, which is worth knowing. And the bad news for us beer drinkers is that even alcohol, on a national level, in a pub economy, has a greenhouse gas emission that in the UK as a whole, 1.5% of emissions, CO2 emissions in the UK, are the result of the alcohol sector. And as for beer is concerned, it's the fact that, you know, we're burning lights and heat and all the rest of it in pubs mainly. So we can't escape, really. And the fact that we're doing a lot of this stuff at night also is, and the 24-hour city is also a major problem. And this is, I think, quite a good demonstration of this. This is from the Clear Skies campaign to protect rural England. This is the ability to see the night skies. But this is a map of light pollution. And this is all energy that is being used in Nottingham. And one of the things that really gets up my goat is the city promoting shopping at Christmas with lots and lots of electrical shaped stars, neon stars around the city, all of which are creating light pollution so that I can't actually see the real stars in the skies above, which just seems to me to be completely absurd. But anyway, well, get off my rant. So the word sustainable has become so much a part of common parlance that we sometimes forget what it actually means. To say something is unsustainable means it cannot continue. And if you follow what Paul says in terms of rising fuel prices and rising carbon prices to prevent the greenhouse effect carrying us all away into a climate crisis, then this will drive up the price of space heating, of transport, of food, construction, because people have to eat and they have to travel to work anyway. And this is likely to leave a lot less money for other things and will stall demand in a consuming city. Also, the government, who are also in denial about these things, have a policy that if general prices increase more than 3%, that the way to deal with this is to put up interest rates. But the fact of the matter is that with the changes in the energy supply that are happening at the moment, prices will have to ratchet up as a result of the energy depletion process and as a result of carbon processes. So it's almost going to be impossible to prevent prices rising them more than 3%, which means that either the government is going to push us into recession or we're going to have to face inflation. And rising interest rates in Nottingham will be a major problem. The shopping boom that we've had over the last last decade or so has been majorly fueled by debt. Financial stress is a definition of Experian, which they define as an individual's potential to become overstretched and struggle with future payments on their debt. And they have an indicator and they rank cities around the country for financial stress. And as it happens, Nottingham is number 3 on the national scale, just behind Manchester and Glasgow. So we are a city, a shopping city, which, surprise, surprise, has a major problem with financial stress. So there will be, with rising interest rates, serious problems for the Nottingham economy. So to come to the end, energy descent will happen whether we like it or not, but we can have a managed contraction or we can have a collapse. Communities, there are precedents around the country for communities, people who are coming together around this perspective of energy descent, oil and gas depletion. It's called the Transition Towns Movement. I think there's somebody here who wants to speak about setting up a transition towns group in Nottingham. I won't say any more. They can speak later and so on. But as individuals, we have a choice to try and get out of debt, to join together with others for mutual support in arrangements to grow more food closer to home, to learn to cook and to mend, to teach each other how to save energy and resources in our homes and communities. This involves an all-embracing change in lifestyles. And I think that an important part of that is supporting vulnerable people in the process. As far as governments are concerned, then governments can either deny what's happening, in which case, as I say, what they'll do is they'll presumably push up interest rates and push the economy into recession, or governments can adopt new policy instruments to deal with the situation. I'm a particular fan of an idea called cap and share, which there's leaflets about over there and a thing on the wall there, which you can have a look at later. But another part of the process, another part of the package, would have to be a reform of the monetary system. Obviously, that's broader than Nottingham. So that's basically the choices facing us. I'll leave you with this picture, which I quite like. It shows what I hope doesn't happen. Two Nottinghams. One is the government, regional government, and so on, the hierarchy. I suppose that would be John Collins on the top, leader of the city council. And then the kind of community level activists developing the responses, and the two parts of Nottingham drifting away from each other. But we will see what happens, and hopefully that is not that. Thanks.